shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and, well, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Coming up this hour, we're going to have a discussion with Bobby Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association and Parent Teacher Association, discussion with her on the Charles Manson's parole hearing, right? And the arguments, pro and con. I got to tell you, it just makes me laugh hearing people say arguments pro and con. I think it's the desperation of some of the news channels looking for how. Oh, yeah, what's the new take on Charles Manson up for parole again? I know. Let's have a debate. On whether he should be allowed to, you know, be released, or whether they should release Charles Manson. We'll have a debate, and that'll take up some good time. And so they find a guy who says, sure, yeah, I'll argue in favor of Charles Manson being released on parole, yeah. And they have themselves a stupid little debate, and that's what happens. Can't believe it. We got Ms. Dooley coming up here in a moment. 877-876-7445. Don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. A backstage pass affords you the opportunity to watch our live streaming video of the show each and every night on Phil TV and HD. And you can also, of course, listen to thousands of hours of archived material, over a decade's worth of full three-hour radio shows. The Phil Hendry Show, the greatest single radio show in the history of man on this planet. Yeah, I think we could make that argument. In any event, you will have the right to, as I say, thousands of hours of listening pleasure, our video cast, as well as our daily podcast, as well as a number of other things, video casts from the past, our old video shows, as well as interviews and TV pilots. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. Join us and have a ball, baby. 877-876. Oh, and one other thing, our souvenir shop is wide open. The Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies, which have been on sale there for months now, going like hotcakes, baby. So pick one up. We've already sold out, I think, of a couple of sizes, although we are reordering. So get on over there and check out what we have for you at the Phil Hendry Shop. Now, Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Ms. Dooley is also president of the Parent Teacher Organization there, joining us online tonight to talk about the parole hearing of Charles Manson. And you heard what I just said, Bobby. And you're from California, right?
That's correct, Phil, yeah.
And I am as well, but I was, I don't know if you were around when these horrific crimes took place.
No, Phil, I was not. I was born a few years after that.
All right, well, I was, and it was terrifying for a lot of people, but more to the point, we saw firsthand the effect this man had on these young people who were a part of his so-called family, or whatever you want to call it, and the statements that he made, and the carnival that surrounded the trial, and the carving of swastikas into the foreheads, and calling people pigs, and even the counterculture, some people in the counterculture, one of them the wife of William Ayers, Bernadette, I forget her name.
Was it Bernadette Doran?
I don't know her name. There's two Bernadettes that were happening back in those days. One was Irish and the other's American. But in any event, saying that, hey, wow, they really put it on the pigs. What is your attitude on this?
Well, Phil, obviously I take it you don't believe that Charles Manson should be released.
No, I absolutely do not. No.
And, Phil, I don't know initially how I felt about it. There's a whole generation of us who, as I mentioned, we were not born when Charles Manson was around and the family was around and they were doing what they did. But I ask you to think of something, Phil, and the reason why I'm asking you is because I had our homeowners association meeting on Friday of last week, suspended for just a few minutes because in the middle of this meeting, I had a thought, and I wanted to I wanted to sort of run it by our membership. And we sort of stopped the meeting.
And Bobby, an announcement.
That's Steve's here, too.
Steve, Mr. Dooley, how you doing?
Good, Phil.
I made an announcement. I said, I want to suspend the meeting briefly here, if I could, because I want to ask a question. And I had everyone draw their chairs in a little bit closer, and I said, let me ask you something. And I said, this has to do with Charles Manson's hearing on parole. Let me ask you all a question. And everyone was waiting, and I said, who did Charles Manson kill? And I waited, and I waited.
Yeah, it's like, almost like we're telling a joke, beat.
Yeah, I gave it like three beats, two, three, and I saw there was really no answer. And one woman, I forget who it was, she said, well, you know, she said something really not very informed. She said, well, Squeaky Fromm killed someone. I don't know what she said. And I said, no, she didn't. No, she didn't. I think it was Marilyn, right?
Yeah, Marilyn Hudson.
I said, no, she didn't, Marilyn. And Marilyn had gotten up, and I said, would you please sit down? I said, no, she didn't, Marilyn. Now sit down. I said, the answer is Charles Manson didn't kill anyone. Now, I don't know, Phil, I'm of a younger generation. But the last time I checked, if you don't kill someone, you don't go to prison.
I know. We were talking about that.
So I said this.
Well.
Now, hold on for a minute. Hold on. So I said this to the Homeowners Association meeting that we were having. I said, the last time I checked, when you don't kill anyone, you don't go to jail. And again, Steve, what happened?
Well, we gave it another beat.
Beat. All I saw were people's eyes going wide. And all I saw were people's mouths opening up. And everyone was essentially saying the same thing. Oh, my God. We didn't know. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone. I said, Charles Manson didn't kill no one. Okay? And when you're in a situation like that, and I've been our Homeowners Association president now, Phil, for 11 years, you really get to know people. You get to know their weaknesses. You get to know their strengths. You get to know the people, and you know what they need when you are leading a Homeowners Association like ours, when you're leading a group meeting like this, you know who the people are that are going to understand what you're saying. You know the ones that maybe need some help. Marilyn was one of those. She had the lady who had gotten up and said, oh, Squeaky Fromm. And I said, no, she didn't, Marilyn. Please sit down. And you don't want to talk to people that way. And you don't want to say to them, you're only hurting us. You're only harming us. Please sit down, and please don't open your mouth again. There's a wonderful line, Phil.
Can I say something?
Let me just finish this thought. There's a wonderful line at the end of the play 12 Angry Men that one of the boys was reading for high school, for high school class.
For like an English.
For English class. When one of the characters says to another, he says, sit down and don't open your mouth again. It's said at the very end.
I know the play, yeah, the teleplay.
What do you mean, the teleplay?
Well, it was a teleplay. It was written for television when you say the play, but I know it. I know the play, and it was in the film. E.G. Marshall says it to Ed Begley. He says, sit down and...
But it's not Ed Begley Jr.
No.
Ed Begley Jr.'s father is a very fine actor. He says, sit down and don't open your mouth again.
Right. And that's what I said to Marilyn. I said, no, she didn't, Marilyn. Now sit down and don't you open your mouth again. What I said was this, though, and what got their attention and what opened their eyes and what I'm hoping to bring to your show tonight. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone.
I know.
Charles Manson was the leader of a family.
But can I make a comment?
I just want to finish this point.
I tell you what, well, I'll make the comment after the... the break, but we do have to break.
Let me just finish this point. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone, Phil.
Tex Watson.
Tex Watson did. Susan did. Krenwinkel did.
Right.
But Charles Manson did not.
So you are in favor of him being paroled?
It. I'm not going to say I am, and I'm not going to say that I'm not. It's food for thought. And that's what I said to our homeowners meeting. I said, food for thought. And people walked out of there. Their eyes were wide. I could tell they were still discussing it as they were leaving. And that's what you like to see from a meeting that you're leading, whether it is about the homeowners association and the issues that we face or these larger issues in life, Phil. When I said to them, who did Charles Manson kill? It really just blew their minds, to use a phrase. It really did. And people walked out of there wondering, my God, my God. Have we kept an innocent man locked up? I don't think we have.
Oh, well, that's nice to know.
Well, but Phil, do you understand the point that I'm making?
No, I do understand what you're saying. Let me take a break here. Bobby and Steve Dooley on with us here. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here, and I'm not trying to talk behind Bobby's back. I just got to get going. About Charles Manson and his parole hearing. The question that was raised by CNN was a ridiculous, contrived question. Should he be paroled? Well, Bobby Dooley is on the line with us saying he didn't really kill anybody. Never mind the fact that he ordered these people to kill, that he assaulted Gary Hinman, that Charles Manson was as much a killer as Jim Jones or Adolf Hitler. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. You're the world famous Phil Hendry Show, live from the El Pacifico every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It is Bobby Dooley, a guest from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, on the line with us as we talk about Charles Manson and Charles Manson's parole hearing. This is to ascertain whether this man, Charles Manson, recognized as one of the most profoundly wicked individuals in the history of American criminality, whether this guy is going to be released on parole. And the latest news, by the way, a parole board is going to review psychological reports and statements of victims as it considers the case of mass murderer Charles Manson coming up on Wednesday. The board meets Wednesday morning for what will be Manson's 12th attempt at parole. My understanding is Manson is not going to be there. Bobby Dooley joining us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. So you had this meeting with the homeowners, and you said to them in the middle of a homeowners meeting.
Yeah, right in the middle of our homeowners meeting.
What did you say?
Well, I said to them, because I had seen the news that morning, and I was really, I was just interested in the case, and I said to them, think about it. Charles Manson never really killed anyone. Well, you could have heard a pin drop. People's eyes, you know, sometimes homeowners association meetings can be very wearying, and the minutia can tend to really create a difficulty for the listener to keep their eyes open sometimes, you know. But all of a sudden, people's eyes widened. And,
well, and you're talking to people who are, you said, were not born?
A lot of them are my age or younger. A lot of them are older. But even the older ones looked at me and went, oh, my God. He didn't. And that's what people don't remember. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone.
I just based on that, I think they should have killed him.
I haven't made my mind up.
But you say, Mr. Dooley, he should be.
Yeah.
I haven't made my mind up yet.
877-876-PHIL. I'm going to take a phone call. I obviously have some very definite opinions about this, but I'll just take a phone call here. We have a gentleman on the line. Yes, sir, go ahead. I forget who this is. Robert or John? I forget. That's Robert. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, it's Robert. Yeah. She is correct. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone. However, the people that died, the people who died wouldn't have died if not for Charles Manson.
What? I don't understand.
Obviously, you don't. If Charles, take Charles Manson out of the equation, these people wouldn't be dead.
Well, isn't that a little bit like saying, take Boo booze out of the equation, and people are not drunk drivers, and yet we don't haul Seagrams in front of a court of law and charge them with manslaughter.
It's obvious that the young lady on the phone needs mm-hmm. to do a little bit of homework. If she would,
mm-hmm.
yeah, she says uh-huh really well, mm-hmm. but she really mm-hmm. doesn't understand.
Phil, what do I understand?
Thanks for your time.
All right, sir.
Going nowhere. Bye-bye now.
I appreciate your call. Thank you very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. And
well, obviously, that man...
Bobby made her point, though, with that man.
Obviously, that man was getting a little bit overwhelmed by the logic of what I'm saying, Phil. And,
no, I don't. I think he was really frustrated.
Well, that's pretty easy. I don't think he was frustrated, no. I think he was overwhelmed by the logic of what I said.
I think what happened to him, and it may be true of a lot of people, there's been so much talked about the Manson trial and about the Manson murders. And
well, even there, he called a Manson murder, he got guilty, but...
Right there, and Steve made a very good point. Why do you call it the Manson murders anyway? Can you tell me that?
I'm going to go back, Bobby, if you'll just listen to me for a second. I want to go back to what I was saying.
Yeah, but why is it called the Manson murders?
I'm going to go back to what I was saying. The gentleman was frustrated, I believe, because there has been so much that has been explained and talked about in this case. When you say, as you said, Bobby, that the liquor companies are not held responsible for drunk driving, you're right. A liquor company is not in and of itself a human being, although...
Well, wait a minute. Corporations aren't persons.
Yeah, corporations are persons, though.
Hold on. The other point is...
Well, what about that point?
Would you guys hold on and let me finish? The other point is that we recognize conspiracy to commit murder as a viable charge. We recognize that there's such a thing as the inducement to commit murder. And these people, such as Adolf Hitler, Jim Jones, what about them?
Well, Phil, I don't know about Adolf Hitler and Jim Jones. We're talking about Charles Manson. We're talking about... This guy, Charlie, if you want to call him that, or some people call him Charlie, I don't know.
I call him Charles Manson.
All right. He was a Svengali, yes. He was a man with a certain philosophy, yes. He was a man who had this wild and crazy idea of life, yes. And he had young people that lived with him.
Have you ever heard what Charlie said? He said, he shared his garbage dump with him, basically.
Yeah, he said that he shared his garbage dump with him, and what he means by that is...
By the way, I don't like... if you want to refer to him as Charlie, are you one of his family members?
Mr. Rainer, I don't find that funny. I'm a father.
I don't understand what that means.
Well, then why would you call him Charlie?
That's just the media.
It's a media reference. And
well, all right, well, fine. You know, but I...
Bill, if you could just hear me out. The point that I'm making is that Charles Manson had these kids that came to him... They listened to him, and then they went out and murdered four people. Wow. I mean, if I'm Charles Manson, I sit back and I go, boy.
Yeah, that's one for the books.
That's one for the books. You know, I'm sitting here, and I'm saying a lot of crazy things, and I'm sharing my garbage dump with them, and they come back one night, and they go, oh, hey, Charlie, guess what? We just murdered a movie star.
Wow. That would...
To me, Phil, that would be a game changer. And
what do you mean by a game changer? Let's just follow your logic, a game changer. If that's a game changer for Charles Manson, then why didn't he immediately get on the phone and call the Los Angeles County Police or Sheriff or...
Los Angeles County, Sheriff County Police.
We don't have county police. They have those in Georgia.
And I understand. I misspoke.
Yeah, we have county police for the South.
Yeah, they got county police down South.
I understand that. If this was what Charles Manson's attitude was, which is, wow, there's one for the books, then why didn't he pick the phone up and call the police and say, I have information concerning those murders that were committed that I think you need to know?
Charles, you have to understand what Charlie's... His attitude was this. I don't control anyone. They do their own thing, as they used to say in those days.
I let them do their thing.
And I don't control anyone. I'm sure when they came back and they said, hey, Charlie, guess what? We just murdered a movie star. I'm sure he went, what?
But he's not going to tell them what to do.
He's not controlling them.
Hold on. I'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. We'll take your phone calls on the other side of this. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, really? Oh. Jesus.
God, man.
I know. Lighten up.
Yeah, lighten up.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us here as we talk about this parole hearing. Charles Manson's on Wednesday. And I have to tell you, Ms. Dooley, I don't think that there is anybody that I know, and you've got to be the first, who would think that Charles Manson should be released on parole. Now, I understand your reasons for this. You say that Charles Manson has never killed anyone. You know that there's evidence, and it was testified to, and Charles Manson admitted it himself, that he viciously assaulted Gary Hinman before Gary Hinman was stabbed to death by the this man, Beausoleil, and I think Susan Atkins.
I know, Phil, I've gone over the record. I'm not saying that I'm an absolute expert on the record, but I've gone over the record.
Very clearly, the man's violent.
Very clearly, Charles Manson has had in his time dust-ups. And
dust-ups? I mean, this is a guy who, you know, he's a little guy. He's a small, wiry guy who obviously had to fight his way out of a lot of things in prison, in juvenile detention, in juvenile hall, and eventually as an adult. And now we know he, and I asked you this question before, you know.
You know, Phil, not to interrupt you, but you betrayed right there in that little moment that you were speaking, you sort of betrayed a lack of knowledge yourself because you were saying, well, he's violent and
Yeah, you didn't seem very clear.
You didn't seem clear. And
Charles Manson has a long prison record, juvenile detention record, a history of violence in prison, fights. He's existed on the outside as a man who has come from the culture of prison and prison life, carried weapons, carried guns, carried knives. I don't think it takes a stretch of the imagination to, you know, to figure out that this is a guy that has gotten by both on his wits and violently. Do you think that I'm wrong?
I'll tell you what I think. Charles Manson, and this is what I know, Charles Manson never killed anyone. And
what about Adolf Hitler?
That's dirty pool.
That is, yeah, that's what Steve's father calls dirty pool. That's not relevant. And
why is that not relevant? Why is it not relevant that the greatest mass murderer in the history of the world never killed anybody?
It's not relevant because we're not talking about Adolf Hitler and giving speeches.
Yeah, Adolf Hitler got up and gave speeches, everything.
We're not talking about a man that had the benefit of the pomp and circumstance of statehood, of flags, of flashy cars, of a flashy uniform, the adulation of billions. We're talking about a skinny little drifter.
Oh, come on. The psychological mechanism is the same. The Svengali complex, the ability to psychopathically lure.
But you know about him being what?
Are you saying that he was telepathic, or did you say he was?
I said psychopath, not telepath.
Because Charles Manson and a lot of them said had a way of luring and alluring you. And you, one of the things you have to be aware of, Bill, and this is something spoken. I'm speaking as a woman. Women know this, men don't. Charles Manson has a way of drawing women in. I can see it. Other women can see it. And unless you know that, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
What, are you telling me you're attracted to him?
I didn't say I was attracted to him. I can see the attraction. The attraction. But I didn't say I was.
My wife talked to him. My wife?
Steve, I told you, Steve, that I found him interesting.
Yeah, I know, but you talk about, like, you want to get nude.
I didn't say I wanted to get nude. I said I found him interesting. Interesting.
But that's not sex.
I didn't say anything about sex. I didn't say anything about taking my clothes off.
Well, you mentioned about underwear.
When I talked about my underwear, I was talking about if it ever came to that, yes, my underwear would have to come off. But
all right, you guys are talking among yourselves here, okay? Let's take a phone call.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah, let's talk about sexuality.
I'm not sexually interested in Charles Manson so much as I can tell you, Steve, and you, Mr. Hendry, and any other man listening, that women understand the allure, of a Charles Manson.
Underwear.
Well, God, you're really hung up on the underwear thing.
All right, can we not talk among ourselves and we can get back to taking some phone calls? You know,
I'd be happy to.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Jeff, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hey, Mr. Hendry. How are you doing this evening? I'm enjoying your program, man. I wanted to...
I'm doing good, Jeff.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to the lady about Charles Manson. I've done a great deal of reading on Charles Manson and a lot of, you know, what I've read about him.
Right.
And I really don't think you're saying things from a very informed position, if I could just say, ma'am. Because first of all, you got to understand, Charles Manson, okay, would you want him, I mean, the one point that I want to make, Mr. Henry, would you want to have Charles, if you think Charles Manson should be allowed to go out free of the prison, okay, on parole?
Yes.
Would you say to him, okay, yeah, you're free on parole, come down and stay at my house? Because let me tell you something, a lot of people that are just out of prison, they need to find a place to stay.
Okay, your phone broke up there. Say that again.
I didn't hear the last part.
I said a lot of people that are out of prison need to find a place to stay.
Are you asking me, is the young man asking me,
I'm just asking you if you think Charles Manson is allowed to be out of prison, if he should be
out on parole.
Yeah, out on parole.
Oh, all right. And you're asking me, would I have that man in my home?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that it's a fair question. I think it's a contrived question. I don't think there's any, in a million years, would there be any need for Charles Manson to...
Charles Manson's not going to make a beeline down to Western Estates, Butler.
Yeah, there's no... I don't think Charles Manson's going to make a beeline down to Western Estates and say, oh, let me knock on Bobby Dooley's door.
Well, I mean, you're on the radio right now talking up how you think that he ought to be allowed to come out. You know,
I didn't hear you.
I said you're on the radio right now talking about how he should be out on parole.
Yes, I do think, and I don't think I've really expressed an opinion.
I did. I think that. But
I think Mr. Dooley of the four of us here believes that Charles Manson should be out on parole.
Well, I mean, I'll just tell you right now, from what I've read about Charles Manson, that's a suicide case. If you want Charles Manson to come to your house, you're on a suicide mission. You know.
I didn't say anything about Charles Manson coming to our home.
Well, I'm just telling you, but I think he'd be out and come sleep here.
Well, that's something we'd have to talk about as husband and wife.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're asking me...
Well, look, ma'am, if you think that he ought to be out on parole, Charles Manson ought to be out on parole after what he done, okay, and I know you say that he never killed anybody, which is sort of technically true, but like Mr. Henry was saying... Okay, you know, Hitler, guess what? Hitler didn't drop any gas pellets, okay? And Jim Jones didn't, last I checked, Jim Jones wasn't standing there saying, oh, make sure you follow the Kool-Aid recipe, you know, Ms. Dooley?
Yes, I'm listening to you, yes.
Okay, so why do you say then that
I think she does not accept the premise that the two things are similar.
I don't think that Adolf Hitler and Jim Jones, when Jim Jones killed Sharon Tate,
But Jim Jones didn't kill Sharon Tate. It was Charles Manson.
It was who?
Charles Manson. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, yes. When Charles Manson killed Sharon Tate, first of all, he didn't kill Sharon Tate. Tex Watson and Susan Atkins and Patricia Winkle did because they had some idea.
Her name is Patricia Krenwinkel, by the way.
Patricia Winkle's name, yeah.
No, I said Patricia Winkle.
Patricia Krenwinkel is her name.
I'm sorry, Krenwinkel. When they killed whoever they killed, and I know they killed Busakowski or some name like that.
Wojciech Frykowski. You know, let's have a little respect for the people that died, okay?
Mr. Henry, I have nothing but respect.
Well, then saying Busakowski, his name is...
His hard name is Trans Bullish. Oh, wow, man.
Yes, well, no, my husband Steve is right.
No, it's not a hard name. It may be Polish, it's not a hard name. Wojciech Frykowski, that was the man's name. That man lost his life. That man fought for his life, viciously fought for his life. Took a long time to kill Mr. Frykowski because he kept fighting off his attackers, people laying into him over and over and over again.
God, well, toot toot.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
What are you talking about?
Is he being serious with that? The Marseillaise, the French national anthem?
Well, still, you're getting all dramatic about it.
It was very dramatic. It was four people getting butchered alive. It was very dramatic.
That's right, Mr. Henry. I think Mr. Henry's right.
No, I'm not talking to the hippie right now. I'm talking to you, Mr. Henry.
Fine, talk to me.
You got all dramatic, and you got all... You know, and he fought off his attack. And so Steve made a joke.
Not a place to make a joke. Not a place to make a joke. That man did fight for his life. And his name is Wojciech Frykowski. Or Frykowski, if I'm...
Oh, yeah, look, see, you're all carving it up.
I'm trying to get the man's name... I'm trying to give him the dignity of having his name pronounced right.
And what about this coffee heiress, little rich girl?
The little rich girl? Do you know anything about these people that died?
I know that they were all rich. And
well, then you don't know half as much as you think. Abigail Folger was a woman who inherited a lot of money. She wanted to make a difference. This is a woman that volunteered to help inner-city kids. This is a woman that was out every day of her life working in some charity to help people who had nothing. She didn't have to go out and do any of that stuff. She wanted to make it. She wanted to be something more than a rich kid. She was out teaching people to read. She was out working at food banks.
You know, Mr. Henry, you're making my way.
You are trying to embarrass me. And my...
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I apologize. We're talking, should Charles Manson be paroled? Three guesses what my opinion is. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Forgive you.
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL, Bobby Dooley and Stephen Dooley, and I thank the young man for calling as we're talking about Charles Manson. Should Charles Manson be paroled from prison where he is currently in a special unit? It is a protective custody unit, if you will, or protective housing, because of the status, if you will, or the notoriety of Charles Manson. Here is Rodney. Rodney, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley.
All right. Well, what I was saying was, is maybe I'm paying survey by paper what I was saying to Charles Manson, but anything else is I've kept under wraps.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said under wraps is he said it's nothing kept under wraps. So what I was saying was, is when he stole from, what's his name? His name was, I think, Vic Morse or something like that. He stole from an elderly woman, and I said he's done very bad things to very bad people. Another thing.
So,
is,
are you saying that Charles Manson had a man killed who had hurt an old lady?
He didn't hurt her. He just he went up to her and he stole, and I didn't ever admit up to it. Well, another thing is, is if this is no irrelevancy of anything of what the Charles Manson conversation, but Al Capone, a very well-known mobster, as a younger man, didn't lead on to violence or anything like that, but also led a very bad reputation of being a violent person. Okay. So what I was saying about Charles Manson.
Where do you come from, anyway, sir? Where do you come from?
My husband wants to know where you come from.
Well, it's the other side of England in Switzerland, and it's right.
All right, yes, sir.
2 miles.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So you're from the United Kingdom, okay?
Okay. That has nothing to do with.
Right, you're absolutely right. I just thought it was very interesting.
Well, anyway, what I was saying was, people that believe bad reputations is nothing compared to learning a lesson and being in captivity for a very long time. I do think, you know, after a while, if you were to be in captivity for a punishment of anything that you've done, that maybe you've learned your lesson after a while.
How about captivity?
I was in, and I know my husband can speak to this, Rodney, that Steve was up at the Dean Wheeler. This is a men's camp. I don't know if you're familiar with these, where they take men, and they go up, and they supposedly teach you how to reconnect with your masculinity, you know, this sort of tribal thing. And my husband Steve had gone up to this a couple of summers ago. It's run by a man named Dean Wheeler. Well, they were, speaking of captivity, they were not allowed to leave the compound. They were forced to work in clearing some sort of bamboo or something, Steve, right? They were forced to clear seagrass. And guess what else they had? They had those pits with the spikes at the bottom of them in case they tried to get out.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Excuse me, Mr. Hendry.
Yeah, what do they call those? Bungee pits.
They're called a bungee spike.
No, it's not bungee. That's bungee cord.
No, bungee spike.
It is bungee spike. What's back in the ancient countries, they used to have them for people who could get
a bungee spike.
Yeah, bungee spike. Yeah.
Are you trying to? What are you trying to tell me? They had bungee spikes at this resort?
Yeah, resort. It was a resort, but I couldn't get out. One guy we knew fell in a bungee spike. That's why I say about him.
Yeah, they lost track of one of the guys.
Oh, this is horse dung. I haven't heard anything about it.
You know, Mr. Hendry, what I think is interesting, and Rodney, this will be educational for you. Mr. Hendry simply says everything is, as he calls it, bull crap, if he just doesn't like it.
It's everybody has their own opinion, and every time I've done, we have 4 years of college, nobody likes their opinion to be proven wrong by anybody, so they always try to think of a different way to defend themselves.
I know.
In their political opinion.
That's exactly right.
Mr. Hendry in any other, in opposition of anything.
There's a lot of stuff going on, and like this one lady they had who's, you know.
We're getting way off the point here, you know. I mean, we were talking about Charles.
Talk about Charles Manson, all the stuff, what he did.
I know, I understand it. Rodney, thank you very much, sir, for your perspective. I do appreciate your phone call. 877-876-PHIL, 877.
No, I didn't understand anything he said, and I think that it's very rude of you, Mr. Hendry, to put someone on the radio like that.
That guy's all talking like it's been all over.
That's pretty funny. Steve said, did you hear what he said?
Yeah, I heard what he said.
Steve said it sounds like, you know, the guy's talking like he's an Oliver Twist. Didn't you say that, Steve?
Yeah, I did say that.
Yeah, I heard him the first time. I heard him. The gentleman had a very thick Cockney accent. I understood him.
Well, I didn't understand a word he said, and I agreed with him.
Bobby agreed with him.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show. Harvey Wireman, attorney at law, is going to join us. Harvey was with us on Friday night talking about legal issues, and I think it's only right that we get him on the line right now in San Marino tonight to talk about this and this Charles Manson parole hearing that's coming up on Wednesday. Harvey, welcome to the program.
Well, good to be with you.
And tell me what Manson's chances are.
Well, as the saying goes, Manson's chances are slim to none, especially because he's not going to appear. he's not going to appear at the
at the parole hearing.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Bobby Dooley.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, well, excuse me.
At the parole hearing, Harvey.
I didn't know. You didn't tell me I was going to be on with them.
Well, I'm sorry, but we have a constitutional right.
Yeah, that's our constitutional. Yeah, I know all about your constitutional rights, okay? I just didn't know Mr. Hendry would have the colossal bad taste. Yeah! Ah!
Oh, my God.
Excuse me, but I've got a lung condition. I didn't know you'd have the colossal bad taste of putting me on the air with her.
And Harvey, I told you that you would be on the air tonight. I didn't say that I would not have you. Well, now we're at the end of the hour. If you can hang on.
Hang on to what?
Hang on to the phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do I get to come back, Mr. Hendry?
No.
You lousy.
We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and welcome to our show tonight. And we are back live here last evening. Today, I was shooting a scene for the TV show Modern Family, and I just want you to know that so that you can know what a big deal I am. And
yeah, you got the picture up on the homepage and everything.
I'm kidding. I don't mean I'm a big deal. I just wanted everybody to know that's what we were doing, and that they, they can see their buddy Phil on Modern Family at some time in the future. I don't know when the episode will air, but it was a great deal of fun, and it's what I call, Daddy has to go to work and earn a living. So that's what I was doing today, and I want to thank publicly everybody at Modern Family for the wonderful time I had. I mean, everybody is so professional. It's no wonder the show's a success. It's no wonder the show is a success. Everybody there knows what they're doing, and they've got their, they have their thing down, man, and they are very, very to a new actor showing up. I'm not part of the team there,
But they pretending like they didn't know you?
No, they didn't do that at all. They were very friendly, and they say, "Hey, Phil, nice to have you." And I sat and I talked to Ed O'Neill for several minutes before we went and shot the scene. He's a hell of a nice guy, and Jesse Ferguson is another terrific guy, and no wonder the show is so successful. I think when people are, they have their system down and they have the process and they know what they're doing, they know what their show's about, they support each other, and everybody is on and everybody's professional and very friendly. Like I said, no wonder they're kudos to them, congratulations to them. That's the way it ought to be. So it was so much fun, and I thank them. And again, we'll get you guys the heads up when we find out when the episode is airing. And
what about that movie, too?
This is 40, which is with Leslie Mann and Paul Rudd and Albert Brooks, and your buddy here, Phil, with a small scene in that movie. It should be out, I think, in, I don't know,
Well, that makes that clear.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't know, man. What do you want me to say?
Well, when do you think?
I heard the summer, and then I heard January. Does that nail it down for you? That's two completely different seasons. So I don't know. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're going to bring on the line here in a moment Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier to talk about an important story. AT&T Sprint phone users sue carriers over tracking. Have you heard about this? This is a lawsuit that has been filed by consumers And these are people that use AT&T and Sprint phones, and they are suing these mobile phone they're suing because of mobile phone tracking software that has been installed on their devices, and they say that it violates wiretapping and computer fraud laws. Now, the lawsuit cites a YouTube report by a technology blogger that purported to show that carrier IQ software applications and web browsing and even the keys they press are this kind of tracking or access this kind of tracking software. Four consumers filed the complaint today in federal court to block the carriers and the phone makers from using the software. And our entertainment reporter from The Courier is Doug Danger, and he joins us. And, Doug, I know you're doing a series of articles on this. First of all, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Phil. Thanks for having me on the program.
So you have investigated this up to this point. What have you found?
So what I've found, Phil, one of the companies that I talked to that makes this kind of software is a company called Pathway Communications. It is a software that enables the phone company to track a telephone if it's lost, if it is stolen, to track a telephone if, for whatever reason, it leaves the possession of the person that purchased it. And as I got into this investigation, as I talked to different people, and I applied some of just good old-fashioned reporting elbow grease, and it's fortunate for me, I'm a gay man, I'm a gay journalist, I've used my experience as a gay man, as a gay journalist, to, you know, find out whether people are telling me the truth or not. And I found that there's a little bit of subterfuge going on with the consumers, not with the companies. Okay? You understand what I'm saying, Phil?
Some of the people that are suing?
Well, I don't know about the people that are suing, but I do know that there are people who are complaining about having this kind of software on their phone, and they don't give credit to the companies. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and the reason I point that out is because I talk to people, I interview people, and if I get the feeling that someone has given me some kind of what we used to call down south a do-si-do, you know, they're giving you a little bit of a dance and a bow and a two-step, and that's all fine. And like we say down south, that's very polite, and that's how the dance goes, but at the end of the dance, you're going to wind up without a partner. And I think that's what's happening here. What's happening here is the consumers are looking for an easy dollar. And
well, isn't it true that this tracking software, whatever this may be, is a little scary? You buy a phone.
No, I don't think so. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I'm bringing that up because when I investigate something, and I'm a gay man and I'm a gay journalist, which gives me a view into the reality of a situation, because I can cut through an awful lot of baloney. All right? I was talking to one of these consumers. I said, look, I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. What I do is I don't, you know, there's no quarter given people who are trying to give me a do-si-do or trying to shuck and jive me. Now, if you want to tell me the truth straight, and I was talking to this one young lady whose name I will not give. She said that she's suing, or she would join this lawsuit because it's a good opportunity to make money. But I said to her, but you know as well as I do, you lose phones, don't you? And she looked a little sheepish. I said, I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. I know when people are going to start to give me a dance and a song and a dance. And she finally said, yes, I do. I said, I bet you've lost. I said, how many phones have you lost? She said, I've lost probably 3 or 4 phones over the last 5 years. So these are people, Phil, that at the end of the day, these are not very grateful people.
Grateful? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because the software is there to help people track a lost phone, and it's there to help people recover a lost phone, because this is a problem. And when you turn around and you sue a company that is trying to help you find a piece of very valuable equipment that American consumers are losing by the thousands, it seems, every day, and then people turn around and sue them because they call this tracking software and invasion of privacy.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this tracking software. And we're talking to Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. He is a entertainment reporter about a lawsuit that has been filed against AT&T and Sprint, or at least they're AT&T and they are Sprint phone users. And yes, they're being sued by people that use these phones because of this mobile tracking software. Let's talk about this software. Exactly what is this stuff?
Well, you know, I looked into this, and it is a very, very simple situation here, Phil. We've got the same kind of technology in a lot of ways that we use on our cars. We have the same kind of technology that we may use, as a matter of fact, on a dog collar if we want to find a lost dog. It's a simple little radio transmitter. It might have a couple of other features to it so that it interfaces with the phone a little bit more readily. But, you know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I'm looking at this, and I'm talking to some of the experts. I said, look, I'm gay, and that means you're not going to really be able to get anything by me. So go ahead, give it to me straight, and just dispense with the normal cheap sales talk that you give people. And you do see people kind of step back a little bit and look at you and go, all right, now I know what I'm dealing with, you know.
Well, you're going in and you're telling a guy you're a gay man and a gay journalist, which means you can't be lied to?
I'm going in and I'm telling a guy, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so dispense with your cheap sales talk. That's what I'm saying. Take off your cheap salesman suit and let's talk real. Look, there's people that Phil, there's people that are going to talk straight to you, and there's people that got their cheap sales bitch. I don't need that.
And, all right, but you're not even buying anything, so what did they tell you?
Well, what they told me was, you're right. We are trying to track phones, but we're only trying to track phones because of people that lose them. We're not looking to spy on people. I said, well, what is this technology? They said it is a simple technology we can track using global positioning satellite to find out where the phone is. There is a very, very small sensor, what's called a combination sensor, mic, and camera. And what that does is it senses through this mic and camera, microphone and camera, where the phone is. Is it inside something contained? Is it outside? Is it sitting in a car? Is it being used by someone? And that gives us information, or gives them information on whether the phone was actually stolen or whether it was lost. And it also, and here's the very funny part about this, Phil, most of these phones are lost by consumers, and they were never stolen, and they were never lost anywhere other than in their own home. In other words, they find these phones 6 months later. The company can go into this software and find out where that phone is by activating this sensor and taking a look through that camera. And
well, that right there, there's what the problem is.
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
Well, the camera.
Well, you didn't hear what I said. The camera is for simply locating the phone, finding where the phone is, what are the surroundings. Is it in the house? In other words, is it in the house of the person that says they lost it? See, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. When I said to the guy, I said, look, you can keep your cheap sales talk and you know what you can do with it. I said, well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I want the straight story here. Are you guys activating that camera for anything other than finding that phone? He said, I swear to God, and he used those words, I swear to God, no, we're not. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, Phil, and I've been at this for a long time. And I can tell you that what's happening here, people are losing their phones. These phone companies are trying to do them a favor by tracking the phone. And what do they get for their trouble? Somebody turns around and sues them. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, that's what I see. And
so that is your conclusion?
That is my journalistic opinion based upon the facts, yeah.
So these companies are doing this kind of tracking, using this kind of software to simply find lost phones. They're using a camera. Is this in all the phones?
This is in this Pathway telecommunication that I talked to, and he said with a few other companies.
Because I know that they have these cameras in iPad or in laptops.
Yeah, but some of them have them in the phone. And I said, are you using these cameras for anything other than finding the phone? Are you trying to get your kicks or whatever? They said, this man says to me, I swear to Almighty God. And I said, well, I don't care. I don't believe in God. But I said, if you do, he says, I do. He says, I swear to God, no, we don't.
All right, we're talking to Doug Danger here from the Orange County Courier on the software used by certain phone companies to track phones. Well, the phone companies are being sued by some consumers now. The consumers saying that this violates federal wiretapping and computer fraud laws by having this tracking equipment on phones that they use. Doug Danger is saying all the companies are trying to do is all of us a favor because we lose so many phones. They're simply trying to track the phone for us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll be right back with your phone calls and more from Doug Danger right after this.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, where our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking tonight, starting our show off tonight, with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier here in California. Doug is an entertainment writer, and he's talking about the lawsuit that has been launched by some consumers against AT&T and Sprint because of this tracking software that is on some phones. The tracking software, which, Doug, you tell me, because you've done interviews with people who've developed the software, is simply to help people find a lost phone.
Yeah, absolutely, Phil. If I may.
Go ahead.
You know, I've talked to, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and the reason why I keep bringing that up is people are going to say to me, oh, well, you know, look, that's what they tell you. Look, I know when someone is trying to feed me a bill of goods. There's such a thing as copping to the reality. The American people lose telephones left and right. The American people lose a lot of things left and right, but one of the things they do lose is telephones. And these telephones that the American people are losing eventually, of course, wind up in a river under a sofa someplace, but they are not with someone that stole it. And how do we know? We have now the sophisticated technology to find out not only where the phone is located, but what exactly the environment that it is in. And that's what the sensor phone, the microphone, and...
Well, the camera, though, some people may find a bit invasive.
No. Again, you know, quit trying to make this about the company and own up to the fact, as a consumer, that we are butter-fingered and sloppy and lazy and we lose phones. I'm just telling it. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? So I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And I have to just give you it straight. The fact of the matter is the American consumers are losing phones and we have to do something about that. What do we do about it? Well, we develop some software to help track these phones. You develop the software, you put a small microphone and a camera on the phone, and the next thing you know, as thanks for the effort that the companies have been making, they get sued. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't play that. And
well, I don't know what that means. What do you, you're a gay man and a gay journalist, you don't play that.
I just got done telling you, I don't like dishonesty. You understand what I'm saying?
And well, you're saying this is flat-out dishonesty by the American consumer because... they don't want to admit the fact that they just lose phones.
Absolutely. And look, this is a pattern. The American consumer and the American people in general have had this sort of sociopathic pattern, which is, it's not my fault. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I'm able to see that, and I bring that to my reporting.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Your conclusion is basically the American people are wrong and these companies are right, but these companies are being sued. Here is Will. Will, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger.
Hey, how you doing? Anytime you bring a camera and a microphone into your life where you don't have sole control over it, you open yourself up to all kinds of foolishness. You know, because...
Well, I don't know that that's true.
Well,
I mean, that may be the paranoia. That might be the fear.
Well, rather it's paranoia or not. The ability to hack into your phone, the ability to track you, the ability to listen in on your life... Anywhere you have that phone, I mean, it's very invasive.
You know, if you buy a dog, you have just brought into your life something that's going to bite you and give you rabies. Is that how you view that? Or do you view that dog as companionship? I think if we as consumers make the right choices and we take the right steps, we don't have to be afraid.
Well, wait a second. How does a consumer who buys...
If you bring
go ahead, Will, I'm sorry.
Into your house and you bring an open camera of which you do not have sole control over, you open yourself up to a whole lot of foolishness. I'll say it again. If you don't understand,
I don't know where you get that. How do you know that? I don't base this on speculation. I base it on reality.
Well, the ability.
And the reality is,
the ability
people are losing phones a lot more than they're getting photographed by somebody off in, you know, the fifth dimension.
Let me ask you a question. You said this phone, right, can be tracked, right? So obviously the ability is there. Whether you got someone, you know, on the other end that's doing the tracking is, you know,
anybody can be tracked.
Yeah, well,
see, you're not listening to me. Anybody can be tracked.
Yeah, but
you understand I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been doing this kind of work for a long time.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but in any case,
as a gay man, what I'm saying is, as a gay journalist, I don't get
it.
No, sir, I'm saying as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I can get to the truth. And when I asked this guy, and I said, "Are you using this for any other reason other than to track the phone that's lost?" He said, "I swear to God, no, I'm not."
But that's one of thousands of people that's working for that company. Everybody at that company.
No, he was the developer. He was the software developer.
Everybody at that company.
No, sir, he's the software developer, okay?
So what if he's a software developer? He's the guy that's developed the software, but is he the guy that's monitoring the phone?
He's the guy. No, wait, hold on, guys. He's the guy that developed the software to track the phone, and he's going to know whether he's handing this over to a bunch of sick creeps that want to look at your wife changing her underwear or whatever it is you guys are worried about. I'm saying that...
Well, wait a second. I don't doubt the man's motives that developed the software. I want to find people's lost phones.
Hey,
okay?
Phil,
all right.
Okay.
Phil, the guy...
So if the guy's motive...
The atomic bomb was very remorseful after he made it because they were using it for war. All right? When you put the technology out
that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Are you trying to tell me the guy that developed the atomic bomb didn't think it was going to be used for war?
Well,
he was very remorseful afterwards. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
You're a gay man and a gay journalist. We're talking about Robert Oppenheimer, who said the very famous line from the Bhagavad Gita,
anyway,
"Now
I'm
I become
out.
Death." Yeah, all right. Thanks for calling. I don't know.
What do you mean the Bhagavad Gita? Why don't you stick to what it is we're talking about?
All right, we'll stick to it. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger, 877-876-PHIL, suing the phone company for spying on you. What do you think?
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're going to get back to Doug Danger in just a moment here on the program. Doug talking with us about consumers suing phone companies for this tracking software that's on the phone so that lost phones can be found. Well, some consumers consider that to be a violation of federal wiretap and consumer fraud laws, and Doug has been doing his own investigation for the Orange County Courier. He says he sees nothing wrong with the tracking software. It's simply there to help people find lost phones and the consumers being a little ungrateful. 877-876 is our number. Just want to remind you that we're online every night on The Phil Henry Show on Phil TV and HD. We have our daily video casts, which we have here for you. We start our video casts early, about 9:30 in the evening Pacific time. That would be 12:30 Eastern time. So you can avail yourself of that if you have a backstage pass, and you can watch our video casts and some behind-the-scenes stuff that we do. We also have a five-day video archive on our site, so you can look at any shows that you've missed. We also have the largest archive of the funniest damn radio show in the history of the planet Earth, our show. And when I say the largest archive, full shows that go back about 12, 13 years. We have daily podcasts that are available of the previous night's show. We have individual character bits, TV appearances, interviews, and pilots that we've done, radio interviews, rare animated webisodes of our bits as well. It's all there at philhenryshow.com, so be a part of our family here and get a backstage pass. And, of course, also inside news and what's happening here in the marvelous life of Phil Henry and everybody else. In fact, we gave our backstage pass listeners the very first word on doing the Judd Apatow movie and doing Modern Family, and then, you know, I don't know. They get a scoop.
Yeah, but he like worked for Entertainment Magazine. They get a scoop if they did it.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah, so if Rona Barrett, I don't know who the hell's out there.
Not Rona Barrett, but like TMZ and Harvey Levinstein.
Yeah, Harvey Levinstein, if he should. All right, so thanks very much for that, bud. And so join us, won't you, at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. All right, Doug Danger with us from the Orange County Courier in Santa Ana, California tonight. Doug, we've got some people hanging on. I want to get to their phone calls. My initial question then would be the following, and this will lead into the phone calls. People are, and the last gentleman had a very good question and a very good comment. You can say that you got this information. The guy says to you, I'm not a liar, and I know you're a gay man and a gay journalist, and you can pretty well ferret out if someone's lying or not. But still, if you have a camera...
Whoa, hold on for just a minute, okay, Phil?
But if you've got a camera and a microphone...
Hold on for just a minute, okay? Hold on, because I know where you're going with it. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? Okay, Phil?
Yes.
Well, I'd like you not to do is tense up on me and get that kind of reactive homophobia.
I'm not being homophobic. You're a gay man and a gay journalist.
So that means that I've put up with enough discrimination in my life to know when someone's trying to yank my chain. Now, the guy said to me over at Pathway Communications, I swear to God, the only reason why I created this software was to help people track their phones. I said, well, you understand, you have a camera and a microphone in that. He said, what kind of resolution do you think I'm going to get on a camera like that if I really did want to see somebody taking their underwear off or what have you? What kind of resolution do you think I'm going to get? I said, well, you can remotely increase the resolution. He said, yes, I could, but I'm not going to do that. And I said, why? He said, I just told you. That's not what I developed this for.
And you believe him?
What? That's like asking, you know what that's like asking? The weatherman says it's sunny out, and you believe him?
I could go outside and see the sun for myself. You know,
Well, yeah, or you can believe the weatherman. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. In your world and in the world of your listeners, that's the same thing as a really good weatherman. And it's something that I've fought to get people to understand. And I'm still fighting that fight, even with people that I consider friends like you, Phil. I'm still having to fight the fight. It's still an uphill battle, even with a friend like you, who, even though you are my friend, you like sitting on the top of that hill and kicking dirt on me as I'm clawing my way up the hill.
No, I do not, Doug. I asked very, very simple questions, I believe, that I believe need answers. Let me go to a phone call here. We have Chris on the line. Chris, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Doug Danger.
Hey, Phil and Doug, how you guys doing?
Real good, sir.
Well, listen, Doug, I am a heterosexual man and a heterosexual consumer. And as a consumer...
I bet you think you just said something real original there, huh?
I was picking up on your theme because you've said it probably too much.
I'm trying to make a point about... No, but see, when I say that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, that's a credential that shows you my expertise. When you tell me you're a heterosexual consumer, that tells me you lose phones.
Hey, Doug, have you ever gone past the clothes? You're using it too much. Here's the point. You're missing. People do
past
not
the clothes.
Want their people
what?
Do not want their privacy invaded. It's invasion privacy. If I make a contract, Doug, if I make a contract with AT&T and I check a box and I said, would you like the option to have a camera and a tracking device, well, that's my choice. But to have that put on me involuntarily, well, you know, Doug, that's not right. That's un-American. That's just un-American.
When you get the phone and you look at the brochure and you look at all the things that are on that phone and you buy it, what are you talking about, check a box? Because that's a feature that's on your phone. Now all of a sudden you find out, oh, look at this feature that's on my phone, and I wasn't smart enough to look at the information before I bought the phone. Now I'm going to turn around and sue?
Well, no, wait a second. Is that what's...
We're not talking about something as simple as... We're not talking about whether I have a Wi-Fi connection or whether... If I have tracking that someone can, on their own, like the gentleman before this said, a lot of nonsense can happen, and it's not paranoia because I've already... Plenty of times have been demonstrated with invasion of privacy, and if you open up that door...
When has any phone company, when's any phone company done that? When has any phone company used that camera to look at your wife taking her clothes off?
It's not about that. It's not that perversion that you're adding to. Listen, it's your paranoia is about the perversion, okay? I think you're caught up in all of that. You're caught up in all of that. That's why you're the gay man.
Don't you think that's what, isn't that what people are afraid of? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
What about your gay?
Isn't that what people are afraid of?
Well, maybe they don't want to see a gay lover taking off his underwear. All right.
Wait a minute, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm not talking about the phone company. We're talking about, you were saying it's an invasion of privacy. And I'm saying that it's not.
How about I have a patent? Hey, Doug, how about I have a patent? I have a patent, okay, and I work for Sprint. And I happen to have, or I consult for Sprint. And
you still haven't told me what you're afraid of. If you're not afraid of the camera and you're not afraid of the microphone, what are you afraid of?
Why don't you let this man finish the example he's going to give you?
Corporate espionage does not exist. Is that what you're saying? Are you really an investigative journalist?
Let me ask you a question. Corporate espionage with a cell phone that was purchased by some guy like you sitting at his house calling whatever you call, that's not corporate espionage. That's what consumers, C-O-N-S-U-M-E-R-S, are worried about. And I'm saying that they're...
It's the application. You open the door to the application. Now, if you think it's so narrow...
You know, if you think that that's possible, I'm not the one with the perverted mind. You're the guy with the perverted mind because you're the guy thinking of all the ways that can be that it can compromise you. You're the guy thinking of the camera looking at your old lady on the toilet.
No, he
didn't. Have you ever heard the Latin term carpe diem? Ever heard that? Buyer beware?
Carpe.
Okay.
Yes.
Have you heard that? You know what that means?
That didn't come from Rome, though. That's somebody that concocted that in Latin.
That is... Oh, God, please. Buyer beware means...
It doesn't come from the Roman Empire.
So what if it doesn't come from... All right, listen, I appreciate your call, sir, and I thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. Who cares if it doesn't come from the Roman Empire? What is that about?
What I'm trying to tell you is some guy who knew Latin came up with that, and, oh, carpe diem, did you know, and... Everyone's, oh, my God, that must be the Roman Empire, and that guy didn't say anything. He let everybody think that Pontius Pilate said that or something. No, he didn't.
Okay, that's fine, but buyer beware. Buyer beware. Buyer beware.
Exactly. Buyer beware. And this guy is pitching me that? That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the company put something on that phone to help you track that phone in case you lose it, or the company can track it for you, and buyer beware if you're all of a sudden paranoid about that camera. All right, he didn't want me being perverted. I don't know what he's worried about then.
Well, he was talking about corporate espionage.
What corporate espionage? If some guy's sitting at his house dialing up the sports scores or using his phone to text messages his girlfriend. What are we talking about corporate espionage here?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. You seem hell-bent, though, on saying it just doesn't happen. Here is Alex. Alex, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Would like to say that as far as the preferences of the journalist, it's completely irrelevant, and I prefer not hearing it anymore. The real subject
What's
here
that?
Is there are...
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist?
Yeah.
And, that's what I am.
So I'd like to get off that subject and talk about what's really relevant here, and that is...
Well, that wasn't a subject. I was just telling you my credentials.
Well,
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
It's irrelevant at this point, but what really matters at this point now, and I'd like to get my
gay.
Voice in without you interrupting me.
Let the gentleman speak. Yeah.
No, I'm just telling that I'm gay.
Yes, exactly.
Like, and I'm telling you, I could really care less, but I don't want to argue.
Well, then you don't know what I mean by my credentials.
All right, we understand. I understand your credential. This gentleman does not care to accept those as valid credentials. So let's just move on. Go ahead, sir.
So if we look at
smart.
If we take this to a different scenario where
not
Bernie
right.
Madoff is basically saying I am a guy that has extraordinary portfolio, you can see how far we need to go in terms of trusting what people say. We're talking about a technology that can be used in a very intrusive way. If you lose your phone, you have to be responsible the next time and make sure you don't lose your phone. So to be able to have the technology to track and turn on your cameras and actually be able to have access like that is a very, very significant issue. And this is something that should be taken lightly. It should be discussed openly.
I'm not taking it lightly, sir. Let me tell you what you take lightly. Every day of your life, your information is out there on cyberspace that you've given willingly, your Social Security number, your driver's license number. Now, those things can be tracked, too. I could cite chapter and verse of how your life could be turned upside down after you willingly give that information out in cyberspace.
But
and yet you want to jump on me for saying a guy, but no, it's not different at all. It's not different at all. You purchase a product or you engage in some kind of commerce where you give. This is why I say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I think of this stuff. See?
Yeah, but
I'm gay.
Like I'm saying, no matter how many times you say what you are, the people listening really care less, and it's not valid.
Well, but they just heard me make a really good point that you didn't have a comeback for, see, and I just want to say to all of them, I'm gay.
Madoff has
okay,
more
you're
validation
gay.
You're being gay. It's irrelevant. But what's relevant here is the advance.
What's relevant is I'm a gay man who thought of something that you didn't think of.
What did you think of, Doug?
I just got done telling him.
Nothing. Really nothing.
What do you mean nothing? Every day of your life, you willingly give parts of your personal life to strangers, and you tell me that's nothing?
No, I don't.
Come on,
that's
buddy.
What I'm trying to
Come
explain
on,
to you. I watch my information extremely carefully, and I'm very
sure you do. Sure you do. Well, then, let me ask you a question. If you're not worried about your information, why would you worry about your phone, whether it has tracking on it?
Because the technology
you're very careful with it.
The technology that's being used that can access and turn on that equipment is critically dangerous in the wrong hands. That's the difference. So I don't want anybody being.
That's
I don't want anybody
paranoid.
Being.
And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
All right. We thank you. You know what? That's a good point, sir. And Doug, you with the gay.
Hey, I'm gay, and he doesn't want to know about it because I thought of something he didn't think of.
No, he just made a very good point. That equipment can be turned on at any time. And
what do you mean it could be turned? All right, so just put a towel over it. Ah.
What do you mean put a towel over it?
If you don't want the camera looking at you, and your wife is there taking her brassiere off, put a towel over your phone.
Thank you.
Listen to him laughing. He thinks it's funny. But remember, a gay man told you that. And he's going to go home tonight, and he's going to feel embarrassed because I'm gay. And
I understand that, Doug. You're a gay man and a gay journalist, and you thought of a lot of great stuff here. But the fact of the matter remains, what you're saying here is irrelevant. People are afraid that this tracking information, this tracking software, in other words, can track too closely. You say if there's a camera, throw a towel over it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back with Doug Danger. We also have Larry Grover on Herman Cain coming up next hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. It's the Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. You can look at us on Phil TV and HD and watch how the show is performed. Doug Danger joining us from the Orange County Courier this evening. You made a comment during our break that perhaps our listeners heard part of. You say that I'm stacking the deck against you. Would you mind explaining?
I don't mind explaining at all, Phil. I think it's very interesting that I've made a very clear point here. I've said I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and that's to say that I can cut. Let me tell you something right now. I think people got the wrong idea about me. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but that don't make me a sissy. I'll take on any one of these people who want to call up, and they want to go out and they want to, you know, they want to throw down and get serious here. I'd be happy to do that.
That's not about that, Doug. We're not talking about a fist fight, okay? We're talking about...
No, what you're talking about here is, I don't want to hear about you being gay. I'm telling you, that's my credential as to why it is people are paranoid and can't accept the reality that they lose their phones. And you know, I'll tell you something right now. The real sickness here is a guy coming on saying I'm a gay man, a gay journalist, that I work my tail off at my job, and I found out something that most people don't want to admit.
Which is what?
People are sloppy with their phones. They lose them. Period.
The whole paranoia, though, about the tracking software, you don't accept any of that.
What makes people think they're so important that the government is going to track some mealy-mouthed little man, some plumber, some salesman in El Monte, California, or Poughkeepsie, New York, what makes people think that they're so preeminent in the lives of the big, bad master computer in Washington, D.C., that they're going to get their asses tracked? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm here to tell you, most of us, Phil, if not all of us, most of us are nothing more than ants. Ants, okay? Well, I say most of us, I don't include myself in that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I consider myself to be a volcano. I'm a volcano surrounded by ants. Okay?
Well, excuse me.
Well, it's frustrating.
877-876-PHIL. I'm not trying to frustrate you, Doug. What we're trying to do is get to the bottom of a couple of things here. Jacob, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine, Jacob.
How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. And since Doug is so obsessed with credentials, I'll throw mine in. 3 decades
All right.
of software development, over 2 decades of computer security. And I think the important point that Doug is missing is that all technology can be abused. In this day of networking and remote control, it's not just the programmer. It's not the programmer we need to worry about. It's like a number of people tried to point out. The fact that that capability is there, that capability is not under the control of the phone owner, and that capability is remotely controllable. Will the company...
I understand all that. I understand that. I don't doubt that, sir. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm telling you that most of us in this world, perhaps not you and not me, I don't think, but most other people are ants. Why does the master cylinder in Washington, D.C. want to find out what an ant's doing?
Are ants, huh?
It doesn't matter whether we are ants or not. I guess you have forgotten a lot of history. Maybe a lot of people are ants, but think not so long ago in this very country, McCarthy here, thousands of ants were persecuted, prosecuted, and all the way pounded.
Those were not ants. Those were actors.
Well, how about the gay broadcasting that's been going on for a long
time? Those were not ants. Those were actors and big shots. I'm talking about, I'm a volcano, and you're a volcano, and we're surrounded by ants.
The thing is, there's a lot of things going on that do impact those ants as well as us volcanoes. And more importantly, when laws are made before the ants, they do impact volcanoes.
You want to believe that. You want to believe that because that makes you feel like you're down there equal with the ants. But you're not. You're a software developer. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. But the ant.
I'm not saying
nobody.
I'm just saying that when a law is passed on the basis of, hey, it's not going to impact the majority, it doesn't matter. Once it has passed, once something has become accepted, once it's available, it will impact everybody.
But
that's the important point.
I understand. But as when I tell you that I'm an ant, that I'm not an ant, but that the ant is not going to be. Are we out of time, Phil?
We are out of time, and I apologize. And I thank you, Jacob, for joining us. Doug, I'm sorry. Maybe we can hold this over for the next hour.
Well, I think it's very unfair. I'm a volcano surrounded by ants. That's how frustrating my life is. And these ants think the government wants to know what they're doing?
Phil.
What an insult. God will not permit...
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I hope he hears me. I hope someone knows I'm here. I suppose they do.
Yeah. The doctors know for work. There are doctors on the corner.
I have paid the price of my remaining
I really
here.
I don't get that.
Our boarding is constitutional as a massive hedge.
Wow.
world-famous Phil Henry Show, radio for patriots, by patriots, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that actually knows what it's talking about, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. That's right, baby. This is the wrong kind of talk radio. This is right-wing radio. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com, to learn more. Coming up this hour, we have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're going to be talking about the Arvada, Colorado Police. I don't know where Arvada is either. It sounds like a delightful place, but this is not a delightful story. An 11-year-old boy drawing so-called inappropriate, and I'm quoting, inappropriate stick figures, and the child, 11, taken to jail and handcuffed, and the parents having to deal with that, and not to mention the kid having to deal with that. 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to be back with Jay Santos in a moment. Just a reminder, we got St. Paddy's Day coming up. That's the next big one, isn't it? You know, well, President's Day, I say big one. We just had President's Day, but St. Patrick's Day is coming up. Not a bad day to roll out a Phil Henry Show shot glass for the one you love. Now, these are not shot glasses that are tourist stand. These are not shot glasses that you find at the Turnpike, at the Turnpike Notion Shop. This is the real deal. 2.5 ounces, perfectly balanced. It's a cordial. It's a long, thin shot, and it has the show logo in two colors, three colors, actually, on the front. And it's yours, baby. Just go over to our website, philhenryshow.com, hit shop, S-H-O-P, for the shot, S-H-O-T. Arvada police arrest 11-year-old over inappropriate stick figure drawing. That's what the story says here. Here is the unidentified mother. Now, listen, this 11-year-old boy was arrested and hauled away in handcuffs for drawing stick figures in school. But the therapist that he's seeing told him to do that when he was getting scared or he was getting anxious. Go ahead and draw some pictures. His parents say they understand what he did was inappropriate, but are outraged by the way Arvada police handled the case. The parents did not want their real names used. All right. They say Tim is being treated for attention deficit disorder. And his therapist told him to draw pictures when he got upset rather than disrupt the class. So that's what this little guy did. Here is the unidentified mother talking to Fox Channel 31 News in Denver, Colorado, about this incident.
It was heart-wrenching to see my son walk out my front door, my 11-year-old son walk out my front door in handcuffs and get in that police car. I think it's violently unfair to these little guys, and it's traumatic.
The boy's psychiatrist, Dr. Patrick Bacon, doesn't think the police acted appropriately in handcuffing and arresting the kid.
I really don't get that at all. I mean, to me, it doesn't seem like there's any victim to this. He was doing what he thought he should. He's only 11. He's not posing a serious threat to anybody. I mean, just is bizarre to me that they'd respond this way.
Okay, so what we have here, once again, Jay Santos joining us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, is authority, outside authority, interfering in the upbringing, and I will say it, it is the upbringing of a child, the education of a child. We have a school overstepping, I think, its bounds. This child is on the advice of a psychiatrist. I mean, this whole thing just sounds like a ridiculous screw-up. And if not a screw-up, it sounds like somebody's got a screw loose and, you know, needs to be replaced, or the entire policy obviously needs to be rethought.
I don't doubt, Phil, that sometimes there are a lot of people who've got a screw loose. That is what it goes without saying at the educational level. For a children, but Phil, I want to tell you that as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, as a person on the front lines of law enforcement, we don't know. Police don't know because police are in a situation where they have other things they got to do. The parents, with all the parents have to do, and you know, I say with respect, the parents are not really going to look objectively at the kid to find out where his kid is dangerous or what's going on with him. And so what we have proposed is that our auxiliary police service, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we are citizens. We're not a neighborhood watch. We are a cut above that. I'd say we are a cut above probably, you know, regular security police, is that we have at least one Citizens Auxiliary Police officer on campus
so that if we do recognize behavior that is red flag behavior, which is what we would call a takedown or a red flag or a level three behavior, that we will take immediate steps to interdict and to make sure that that child is not a harm to himself. He won't make sure he doesn't hurt himself and he doesn't hurt any other kids. And
you're proposing to put your volunteer, not volunteer, but they are volunteer police, aren't they?
We do not like to put it that way. We don't want to say we're volunteer police because people then think that we are some kind of, you know, they want to put it in a disparaging way. They say we're like rubber bullet cop. We're not a rubber bullet cop at all. We do, we will detain individuals if we feel that they have posed a threat to the community. We have, we are uniformed. We wear a blue armband so that we're very clearly seen. And so I don't think that, you know, saying we're volunteer. You know?
All right, well, I won't say you're volunteer, but you're not a, an official police agency.
Well, here again, I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to engage in that kind of language because when you say we're not official and you say that we're a volunteer, people get in their minds that we're some sort of bogus rubber bullet security detail at a, you know, at a department store or something. And that's not what it is.
Well, if you then you explain, Jay.
Well, what we do is we take a look at situations that the police are not handling to the best of their ability, most likely because they are undermanned or and don't have the time, and situations that parents are not going to handle well because parents are prejudiced against it.
You know, when you say the parents are prejudiced, what do you mean? Their parents aren't going to look?
I mean, they're not going to look objectively at their own kid.
Okay. So you would put a police officer, one of your citizens auxiliary police, on a campus and look at any child that seems to pose a violent risk. Now, let's take a look at this child. His name is Tim, and this is in Arvada, Colorado.
That's correct. And we do have, we've got four different citizens auxiliary police. We have the Boulder Cougars.
Well, okay, we can get through that, but I wanted to mention here that this young man is in Arvada, Colorado. He is being treated for attention deficit disorder. This is all from last October, by the way.
That's correct, yeah.
So I wonder why we're only hearing about it now.
Well, I think it's the press was not aware of it or they were sitting on it. They might have been sitting on it. And a lot of times the press will just go ahead and sit right on it. Because they don't want people to be embarrassed. Maybe it's not necessary in terms of the public, of what the public know about it. And they'll sit down right on top of it and sit on it and sit on it. And then at some point, they'll probably get up and let it go, and it'll go get published. But sometimes they will sit forever on a story.
This one says here that Tim is being treated. Last October, he drew a stick figure of himself with a gun, pointed at four other stick figures with the words, "Teacher must die." He felt calmer and was throwing the picture away when the teacher saw it and sent him to the principal's office.
Well, right there, "Teacher must die." I mean, that's red flag there.
Why would you say that's a red? You know, I got to tell you, when we were kids, all we ever did was mock our teachers. We made fun of. I remember a kid drawing a cartoon of one of our teachers. It was a cartoon of being dragged behind a car. And
I don't know. Did that kid get reported?
No, nobody reported him. It was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. It was a cartoon. It was a series of panels. This one kid was very talented. And he drew this panel of the teacher chasing somebody, and his shirt gets caught in the trunk of the car. And now this teacher that we all thought was funny is bouncing up and down on the highways as he's being dragged. I mean, it was nothing that we didn't see in cartoons.
That to me sounds like extremely violent. I don't want to comment, Phil. You're saying something that happened a long time ago. This is a boy's teacher must die.
But I'm telling you, is it not normal for children to get that off their chest or get that out of their system, especially when a psychiatrist is asking to?
I'm saying that it is not normal, and I'm saying that with our citizens' auxiliary, I don't know about psychology. You're asking me about psychology. I see an opportunity for citizens' auxiliary police to step in and tell the school, here's something we can do. I don't know what it is you want, but if you want us to observe these kids that are acting, what do you want to call it, weird or squirrely, we take a look at it, you know, size the kid up, look him up and down, And we could do one of two things. We do a takedown, which means we take the child down, we roll him over gently, we do a kid tie, which is a, it's a fun tie. It's like a hog tie, but we call it a kid tie so the child doesn't get that panicked. And we kid tie it and take it in. We can't do it. Simply an interdiction, which is basically tell a kid, just stand there. Now what's going on with you, you know, doing all this?
And well, what would you stop a child, when you talk about a kid tie, that's to restrain a child.
That is correct. But we don't do that just because the kid's violent. We do it to make sure he doesn't become violent. That's the thing we do is totally different than other people. You see, we're going to do it so they don't get violent. You see, but any time a child is wearing any kind of violent clothing, it's got a a lot of kids like wrestling, I understand that. But if a kid's wearing a wrestling shirt, you got a problem. If the kid has said that, I'll tell you one thing that we did, Phil, a young man that we saw on a campus over here at Roosevelt, which is up in Redondo Beach, there was a young boy there, I don't want to give his name out, but his name was Jeremy Duncan, but I didn't want to give his name out because of the privacy issue.
And well, you just did give his name out, so...
Well, I did give his name out from the standpoint of they told us, well, it had been reported. In any event, his name was Jeremy Duncan, and he used to make war sounds so realistic that it scared the teachers and the pupils. And so one day...
What do you mean war sounds?
It's the way a little boy is when he plays Army. So this young man was going, I don't know how to do it, Jerry Gleason. That sound like a machine gun, you know, like a machine gun where a kid goes boom, boom, that kind of thing.
Okay.
He did it so well that the teacher got nervous around his kid. So I told the kid to stop because they had brought me out there for Citizens Auxiliary Police review. They wanted to see just whether they could afford us or not. And I said, and we don't ask for money. We just ask for whatever they can spare in terms of kitchen equipment, barbecue, forks, knives, things like that. For our substation. So the kid goes like that. And I said, yeah, that does sound realistic. We did a kid tie. We transported it into the principal's office. And the principal had a talk with it. And it said that it would stop doing it.
You know, we're talking here about children, and we're talking here about the well-being of kids, and you're talking about kids as if they are a ongoing threat that needs a takedown, a hog tie, and this is the thing that bugs the hell out of me, man, when children who, because of the paranoia surrounding and the lack of education, too, that's the part that really drives me nuts, the lack of education on the part of some people, these kids are treated like criminals, and this little boy with the stick figure arrested?
Well, Phil, I would have done the same thing. You don't know.
You'd arrest a kid who was told by his teacher to draw these things if he got nervous.
I'd have to do the same thing. If a child has drawn something that says teacher must die, you have to at least put the child into some kind of restraint and then sort it out. That's what I'll do. I don't want to take the kid to prison, but if he puts a picture down that says teacher must die, there's a stick figure, and he's making a gun noise like that one boy did. You know, he's going,
No, I understand what you're saying.
So I would have to, at that particular point, put him into some kind of a restraint and perhaps a 24 to 40-hour hold.
All right, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police has joined us. Our number is 877-876-7445. Children and their behavior in school. And how do we know whether it's violent or if it's just therapeutic? This boy who was drawing a stick figure with the caption, teacher must die, was simply doing, he was sort of going through a little therapy that the psychiatrist told him to, and he gets arrested. And Jay Santos agrees with that. I don't. I don't agree with any kind of police activity with kids who are drawing pictures. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call
call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL.
Because I don't believe
that's
in that,
877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for Patriots by Patriots. And, Jay, it's just a matter of the long arm of the law. Call it what you want. Every possible facet of our lives. Now the behavior of children. A child that just went to a psychiatrist. Do you understand how destructive this is? That a psychiatrist said to the child, if this helps you in dealing with your anxiety, then draw it. And he gets taken to jail.
Phil, I've been out there. I've been on the playgrounds. I've been in the classrooms. I've seen these kids who can put the fear of you-know-who in the teachers and their students. I'll give you an example. You know, we're walking on a playground, and I see a kid there who is, I've been on a playground over here at Roosevelt, which is right over here in Redondo Beach, the same place we got this young boy, Jeremy, when he was going, you know, boom, bang, 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 and all that. Here's a kid eating a, what looked like a Hostess, what do you call it, Ding Dong? I don't know what it is. It's the
Like a Hostess Twinkie.
It's one of Twinkie. It was done at...
Well, a Hostess Cupcake or something.
No, it wasn't that either. It was a Ding Dong. I'm sorry. It's one of the chocolate. And the reason why I say it is because that's got chocolate icing, and so it's got the whipped cream, and I immediately became concerned because that was sugar, and the child was wearing a WWE shirt. So that's a violent representation with the sugar, what's going in. And I've got to make a judgment call, and that judgment call said to me, takedown. So I've got to put that kid flat on his stomach as gently as we can. We've got to get him in, take him into an area. Sometimes I'll have a janitor's closet or an office or something where you can interrogate the child in a way which is not going to, you know, scare him or anything.
And well, I would think the kid would be scared enough, man, being taken and tied because he's eating a Twinkie or whatever it was.
Well, you said it was a Hostess Ding Dong. The reason why I'm making a differentiations is the sugar content.
Okay, fine. I mean, whether it's that or something else, and then he's wearing a wrestling shirt, and you say, this looks like an interdiction, I don't get that, man. I don't see that. I understand sugar. Believe me when I tell you I understand sugar and kids, they love it. Here is Chris in Chicago on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Phil. I want to know if this guy's got any deputized powers, if he has anything that he's allowed to arrest people or what. Is there anything...
Well, yes, I do. We have obviously the Constitution gives us the powers of citizen's arrest, and the laws in different states are different, but if you see a situation happening, excuse me, sir?
Oh, you're full of it. If you try to...
No,
like,
I'm not. Have you read the law? You're asking me because you didn't know. You asked me because you didn't know, so that's why you asked me. And the state laws say...
Old guy to go after little kids, tie them up, make a little trip to the bathroom, have a little fun with them, and then take them to the principal's office.
Well, maybe that's what happened to you when you were a kid. Was that what happened to you when you were a kid? Because that's not what
you do. Yeah, you're trying to pull up my history. I don't think so. What are you, a little pedophile? You have to register.
Well, that's where... See where your mind goes? See where your mind goes? Look where your mind goes. You immediately go to a guy touching you.
All right, let's talk about this whole thing of being on the playground. Hold on. Let's talk about the thing. Are you allowed to be on the playground?
Yeah, school said that we could look over the situation.
All right, you're looking over the situation, but did the school tell you go ahead and take down any kid that you're concerned with?
The school said they wanted to see me in action. So I gave them some action. If you're looking at a kid who is sucking down sugar at the rate of
his wife.
I said
you
hog-tie wife. You hog-tie my wife. You hog-tie my wife. Now you got your... Now I doubt if you're going to see the sunset that day. You want to go hog-tie my wife. You ain't even going to see the sun go down that day.
How would you like playing you little in the grocery store, you look at a bikini or something, thinking, oh, this guy's weird. He might do something.
Yeah, everything you're saying tells me more about you than me. Tells me more about you than me. I think you look at a zucchini and you go, oh, my first grade teacher.
All right. Thank you very much. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show.
I mean, I'm going to answer questions from people who want to talk, you know, like they're, you know, like they got, you know, educated and everything like that. I'm not going to talk to some guy that's... Can't get over the fact that some old man who lives behind him showed him what it's all about.
All right, hold on. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. Show them what it's all about. Phil Hendry.
Oh, my God. God.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
More of your phone calls coming up, 877-876-7445. You're giving me these scenarios here. Jay Sanis with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police on how do we spot a child that is potentially a problem in terms of violent behavior, and how do we differentiate between that child and this poor kid in Arvada, Colorado, who was simply drawing stick figures that had, you know, that were saying, ooh, I'm going to kill teacher. Like, kids haven't said that before.
I sure didn't hear Van Halen. Let me tell you one thing, Mr. Henry. I never heard Van Halen say, I won't kill teachers, I want to do it to her. I forget how the song goes. They said, I want to climb all over her or whatever.
And I'm hot for teacher.
What is that?
That's the song you're talking about?
Oh, the Van Halen song, yes, sir. And I never heard Van Halen say, I'm going to gut teacher. I mean, it's insane. And
come on, man. You know that kids. So, all right. I want to get to some more phone calls.
Well, I was going to tell you about when we stake out, because that last guy was so. Excuse me for saying that. The last guy was so stupid. You know, I don't know where to begin on describing what's wrong with him. But I was standing in a classroom at a middle school in Alhambra doing a. Just surveying the class. And there was a kid giving a report. He stood up. He's wearing a pair of camo pants, okay, a little bit of red flag, not that bad. But then he stood up to give a report on his dad in Afghanistan. Right there, I've got to make a decision. And a decision I made was to firmly but gently take the kid by both arms, and I nodded to the teacher. She knew what I was doing. And we immediately went into interrogation mode because you don't understand. And
you took a kid who was talking about what?
About it before you get indignant, Mr. Henry.
No, I want to know. The kid was wearing camo pants and he was talking about what?
He went into a report about his father in Afghanistan. All right. Was his father in the Army? Was his father a Marine? I never heard. I don't think he was. Was he a war criminal?
Well, was his father in the Marines or the Army?
I did not hear. I did not want to go that far. We had to begin to.
So, in other words, you took this boy out of that classroom, began to interrogate this child with the school's permission before he even got his story out about what his father did in Afghanistan, which most likely was his dad was a soldier.
Well, I don't know that.
Well, you never let the kid say anything. I'm telling you, Mr. Sanis, I do not think that this hyper-monitoring of kids has done these kids any good at all. I think it's making them crazier.
By the way, Mr. Henry, I say this, I'm a Brigadier Admiral with the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry if I didn't address you by your rank, but I'm trying to get to some larger issues here. 877-876-7445. Nathan in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Go ahead, sir.
I'll tell you what, I'm a parent of four boys. 7531. This guy here on the phone, this guy sounds crazy. I'm sorry, but he doesn't need to be anywhere near kids.
Well, I don't know. I sound crazy, but I'm trying to keep it. What's that?
Camel pants? Are you serious? I mean, that's a red flag to wear camel pants?
No, it wasn't. It was a red flag when the kid had camel pants. He starts launching into descriptions of military operations in Afghanistan.
Yep. No, he was talking about his father.
You didn't even let him get far enough to tell him the class, whether his dad was in the Army, the Marines, or whatever. I mean, if that guy's that kid's dad,
how long am I supposed to wait? How long do we wait before the kid does something violent?
Oh, you got to be kidding! How long do we wait?
He's probably proud of his father that his father's over there, you know, risking his life to secure freedom for us and other people across this world. And you're going to red flag him.
Yeah.
You have got a problem, buddy. You do not need to be anywhere near kids.
Well, first of all, sir,
It is debatable whether his father has protected freedom or not.
Whoa. Don't even go there, because if you're going to start in on the politics, boy, you're way out of bounds, okay?
Well, I'm not going to talk about that, but I'm just saying, okay, so he started in talking about military operations. And
he started talking about his dad. How did you know it was about his dad?
Because the teacher told me later.
The teacher told you later, so the boy did not even get out of his mouth what it was he was talking about. In your interrogation, the child didn't say anything?
No, he did not. So, I don't know what that, that's another red flag. What's he hiding?
Maybe you don't know how to talk to kids.
Mr. Henry,
he doesn't need to be anywhere near kids. I mean, you made the comment earlier about making war sounds and machine gun sounds. That is normal, buddy. That is normal for kids to, you know.
I understand that. But this boy was doing it so realistically that the teacher.
Oh, give me a break. You ever watch Police Academy? You know, maybe he's the next, imitator like that guy in Police Academy.
You mean the black guy that could make the sound of a dog fighting a cat?
Get out of here.
I'm talking about a kid who was making, I mean, I can't even do it that good. He was going like.
So what? Well, he did it good. The point is, you are crazy. You are mentally unstable. And you do not need to be anywhere near kids. If I was a parent in that school district, I'd be all over you.
Well, what's that mean? You'd be all over me?
I'd be all over the school. I'd be finding out why they've got you in there. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
no kidding.
A WWE
I'd like to know the names of the
shirts. I mean, since when is that a problem?
Well, first of all, you see, that's the reason why I do what I do and you don't. I'm looking at a kid who's siphoning down sugar by the second while wearing a shirt that celebrates some guy with a crease in his head. You know, I mean, you look at these wrestlers, they look like their skulls have been caved in multiple times. And this kid thinks that's cool while he's siphoning, you know, the cream right out of the center of one of those, the ding-dong. That's what the kid is doing, Mr.
What kind of a childhood did you have, man?
I had a normal childhood. I went to work when my dad, my father, was arrested. My father got arrested for running dog fights over here in Pico Rivera. And I didn't see my father for a long time, so I was mostly with my mom and then with her boyfriend. And
boy, you know, you're not telling a story of a childhood that I would want anyone to have.
What is that supposed to mean?
I mean,
your father got arrested for running dog fights in Pico Rivera.
Well, you're laughing about a young man whose father goes to prison?
Well, no, you're just saying you had a normal childhood. Your dad's in prison. Your mom's got boyfriends. That's not normal. That's not good.
Well,
I mean, did you have any good male role models in your life? I mean,
if I tell you that, then that last guy is going to call up and call me gay, and you know, like he did.
All right, look, very good questions. I got to take a break, or got to run onto another caller, sir. But I appreciate that very much. That's Nathan in Chattanooga. Our number is 877-876-7445 on the Phil Hendry Show. I don't mean to to criticize.
No, not at all. You just basically said that my childhood was some sort of a. What are you trying to say?
You said you had a normal childhood. Your father goes to jail for running dog fights in Pico Rivera. Is that right?
Yeah. I know that dog fighting is illegal, Mr. Henry. I know it's bad. But my father's a good man and taught me about respect for the law. He taught me respect for the law. All right. He taught me respect for the law except for the dog fighting. That was the only part that he...
That's the only part of the law he didn't teach you respect for, huh?
I'm simply saying that man and the little boy should have said, I want to talk about my father in Afghanistan. Instead, he goes, in Afghanistan, they have, he's all good in military and everything. He's a kid. And I'm thinking, if anybody should be talking like that, it should be an adult. And he's talking like he's all, you know, armied up. I don't know.
877-876-7445. Let's go up here to Debbie in Tucson. Debbie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Sanis. Go ahead, please.
Hello. I just want to say that this guy on the phone needs to be checked out by CPS, period. Okay? You should not be around kids. You are a threat to kids. And CPS needs a copy of this radio show and just listen to him talk. Because there is no way he should be around anybody's child.
If you were a teacher, then you'd have the kid... You would have had that kid taken in by the cops because he drew a stick figure. So who's worse, me or him or her?
I don't even care about your stories and how you do kids. From what I hear, you have some issues. Have you been fingerprinted even to be around kids?
Excuse me, what have I done that's illegal? What have I done that's illegal?
Have you been fingerprinted?
Well, I mean, come on.
I'm not answering your question. Have I been fingerprinted? I bought a house. You have to be fingerprinted when you buy a house.
You're around people's kids, and you haven't even been fingerprinted, and they haven't done a background check on you?
Have you? What's that supposed to mean? What have I done that's illegal?
Well, let's talk about you taking a kid and putting him on the ground because he's eating a Twinkie.
Mr. Henry and this lady probably didn't hear. You didn't hear. The kid had one of those. The reason why I said he had a Hostess ding-dong is because those have a cream center. And the kid was, he wasn't eating the chocolate. He wasn't eating the cake. He was sucking the cream right out of the middle of it. And right away, that was a red flag.
Why is that a red flag, man? Are you kidding?
It's the rules world. Are you, so you got your own rule book? Whose rule book are you going by?
Are you telling me that's normal? That is that's a child that needs sugar so bad, he's sucking the cream filling right out of the middle of the ding-dong.
Okay, listen, what type of training did you get to do your job?
Why don't you get a better phone? You're all, what kind of cream is in it? I can't understand what she's saying.
I can understand her fine.
What was the question? What kind of training
did you get? What kind of training did you get?
First of all, we are Citizens Auxiliary Police is self-contained. We're self-contained. All right? We train ourselves. That's what we do. Because we're not interested in the politics.
The school district lets you around kids, and you have no formal training?
Well, ma'am, just like the phone company lets you use a phone, even though I can't hear you. I mean,
school district is this that's allowing you around kids?
The Crumpton School District, right over here in
the what?
The Crumpton School District. It's over in Brennan.
I can't understand you.
I don't know what you want me to do.
Say it louder.
It's the Brennan School District. It's right over in Pumpkin.
Okay, I hope somebody understood what you said so they can turn you into CPS.
Well, yeah, okay, fine. I worked at the Lennon School District in Parbolin.
In Parbolin?
I didn't say that. I said Brownlin.
Brownlin?
No. You know, ma'am, you are so intent on people into jail.
Whoever in the city, whoever knows, needs to turn you into CPS.
We were able
to
interrogate the kid in a janitor's closet.
This radio station needs to take some responsibility and turn you into somebody's child gets hurt. Because
you have
some mental issues. You lack common sense. You do not have any common sense, and you do not need to be around anybody's child.
I think you're very wrong.
All right, thank you very much for your call, Debbie. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll put Jay on hold for just a minute. A man who, Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, agrees with the Arvada, Colorado police. They arrested a little boy because he drew stick figures, one of which said, I'm going to kill teacher. Now, the child was told to draw these stick figures by a psychologist if he got scared or nervous. That's what he did. He felt better. He threw it away. That night, he's arrested. 877-876-7445. We're trying to make some sense out of this crazy, mixed-up, strange-ass world. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, The Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Famous Phil Henry Show coming up next hour is our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And welcome back with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on controlling potentially violent children in grade school, middle school. These are small kids. Is there some kind of an indicator? Is there some way that we can tell a kid is going to be violent? Well, I don't know, but Mr. Santos, you're saying, or Brigadier Admiral Santos, you are saying that, yes, you can, if the kid is eating the cream out of a Twinkie. I mean, you're giving a lot of...
No, you're making it sound a little ridiculous, Mr. Rainer. What I'm trying to...
Well, you're the one who said that it's an indication the kid has a sugar fix if he's sucking the cream out of the interior of a Twinkie.
That's correct, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you do see a lot of kids do that. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But then put that together with the fact that a kid has on the WWE, now you got yourself a problem. And a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, I can't have a problem like that. I can't afford, like you can afford, and your audience can afford, and a lot of people listening tonight, maybe people who were listening yesterday or tomorrow, they can all afford it. I can't afford it. One mistake by me, and you're going to see a lot of, I can't go in it because it'll turn your stomach, what will happen. So one mistake by me, it'll make you'd never stop being sick.
I doubt it, sir. I doubt it.
Why you say you doubt it?
I just doubt it. I'm sorry. 877-876-7445. Here is Patrick in Portland, Maine. Go ahead, Patrick. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. How you doing? First of all, I
Good,
doubt
thank
it
you.
Myself. I just want to reiterate, like a
you
couple other people
go.
Said.
You tell them I doubt it, but I'm the one living it. I live it.
Okay, let's let this man talk, please.
Okay. Well, first of all, the previous caller, that woman there, she kind of got to the point that I'd like to get to is, which state is this happening in?
I'm in the state of California.
Out in California? Is it a public or is it a private school?
I'm not at liberty.
Well, what do you mean you're not at liberty?
Yeah, no, I don't want to hear you're not at liberty. You know, you just gave out on national TV, so...
I take it back. I shouldn't have done that. You're right.
Well, the school you described is a public school, so because I know the school. So let's just say it's public and some are private.
You don't know that.
I do. You mentioned the school.
Yeah, well, the point I want to make, Phil, is that if this guy is doing this in a public school, it couldn't happen because, there's just so many rules nowadays. They're not going to let some guy stand there with an op or wearing a WWF shirt. You know what I mean?
Well, sir, you guys, I love the way you guys laugh when it comes to a kid that might be violent.
You can't say that. And I just think it's so asinine ever since Columbine and maybe before that every little twitch, every little raised eyebrow, every little finger that's moved the wrong way, every little paranoid adult, every these poor kids are under the gun. And this child was doing what the doctor told him to do. Can you imagine that? This child was doing what the doctor said and he still got arrested.
Mr. Henry, we're not perfect, but we're trying to prevent a kid like that from possibly taking a automatic weapon in there. You're going to have millions dead. Or not millions,
sir,
but you're going to have a lot of people dead.
How many people are in this citizens police patrol that you have?
It's called Citizens Auxiliary Police. We have approximately 20 sub-commanders.
Okay, and is this sponsored by the police department?
I don't really like answering a lot of questions about what we do because we're getting...
Well, then what are you on the radio for then?
Because I called up Mr. Henry and asked him if I could comment on this situation with a kid with a stick figure. And Mr. Henry said yes. And
yeah, I'm glad I did say yes, because I'm finding out that you're going out there and you're hawking your services to public schools as a guy that can prevent violence. And because a kid was wearing an armband and talked about Afghanistan, you made the assumption he was a security risk and went and interrogated him in a janitor's closet, which, by the way, if I'm the parent of that kid...
Oh, here we go again with I'm a perv. You know, you guys really got to clean it up. Because
Mr. Henry,
yes, sir.
I just want to say one more thing.
Yes, go ahead.
There's no way this guy could be in a public school because that's all funded by the federal government. And just, I believe it was just last week, there was a teacher that said some stuff on Facebook about our students, and it made national news. And if this guy takes down a kid in a classroom in a public school that taxpayers pay for, this guy's going to prison. Bottom line,
sure.
I believe he's full of crap, and none of the
you're
saying
that,
do any of this.
You know what you're saying, that sir, because I know how to keep our operations and the things we do quiet. I don't go running around to Facebook and put stuff on there.
You don't have to run around to Facebook. If you're in a public school, there's plenty of people that are going to be talking about it. I believe you're full of it, And well, I mean, this is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
You asked me a question. Thank you very much. I'd rather not comment. See, that's why I told that guy I'd rather not comment on it. I said, I don't want to dignify the ant. You know, I'm not going to dignify. And he got all upset. That's why I usually say, I'll say, I'd rather not comment or I won't dignify.
And what does that do?
That means I don't give, I'm not putting information over there what's going to be on Facebook and everything. Yeah, figure it out.
Don't talk to me like that, okay?
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, you asked me these questions. You know, it should be obvious.
Rose, we got about 40 seconds. Go ahead, please.
I just want to say that that man is psycho. He is abusing children,
what?
And he is doing a volunteer job to justify it. He is a power-hungry
pervert.
Abuser.
Pervert. Am I a pervert?
Very likely that he's a pervert.
Okay.
Very likely if he's going to interrogate a child in a janitor's closet.
All right, what if I said I wanted to interrogate you in a janitor's closet? Does that make me a pervert or just I'm attracted to you?
Oh, God. Ooh, don't even answer that. Rose, thank you very much for your very succinct and on-target comments.
Phil
Next hour, the news hour, world-famous Phil Henry Show.